We are from Eindhoven University of Technology. This morning we would like to present something about the application of radios for the development of future solutions. I would like to start with giving this opinion that in future our environment will need to deal not only with energy saving problem, typical energy saving problem, but also how to produce a very high quality indoor environment. And by very high quality, I mean it can be healthy for the occupants. It can be productive, comfortable, and even energy producing. But then, of course, we need certain solutions in order to solve this problem. And so we need some future solutions that are not existed at the moment. And if we are speaking about the future, of course, we know that the future is uncertain. So that we have a need to predict the performance of such future solutions. And of course, computational simulation tools is one of the equipment available, and in terms of lighting, we are in the radiance community, so we know that we can use radiance for this kind of purpose. And if we speak about radiance, of course, there are a lot of keywords. We would like to present two cases. It's this morning. First case is will be involved for the lighting performance of a building, and the second case is more involved about materials, the development of new materials. First case is a PhD topic of mine. Actually, it's about pre-solution and lighting solutions. We start with the fact that we have this kind of downside of daylight, so it's not always available. It has good positive effect, of course, on people, but unfortunately it's not always available. So the rough idea is basically why not we just make a fake window and put it somewhere on our wall. And it's kind of trivial, but it isn't. So this idea we call it as a future nature lighting solution. And of course, we have to start with thinking how to actually model that. So we take, this is our how utopia point, but we take two approaches, or actually a lot of elements, but we take two of them. First one is how to improve the directionality of the light coming from the window, and the second one is how to improve the view of on the window. We start, of course, with the zero point. We have existing virtual windows with a very diffuse directionality and without any view. And we can go one step upward to place a view a little bit on top of your window. But basically, this is something that we have already seen yesterday. There's just a few light boxes. But we want also, normally there is no directionality. And if we want to improve our model, and we need to also consider the directionality of the light. And this is something that we haven't known yet. So this is what we call as a future solutions. So we use radiance to model this in order to get to the next point, which is still a question mark. So we would like to give three examples of this type of future windows. The first model, the very, very simple one, actually, without viewing, without directional light, actually, it's blind in situations where view is not considered as the most important thing. For example, when you want to compare energy consumption. Another example, if you want to also, for example, consider the effect of light without view on the human being, alertness, but it's a different project, actually. In terms of modeling, we can, for example, try to compare between two rooms, with one with real windows and one without real windows, and put the virtual windows instead, and see what happens if we compare the lighting distribution. This is some rendering. We see that the general distribution of throughout this distance of the space is quite similar, but of course, in future windows case, we don't have additional artificial light near the window, because it's enough by the control windows only. And in terms of energy also, yeah, I didn't show it here, but we also calculated that in terms of the heating and cooling energy, actually, the virtual windows can give you a little bit a smaller amount of energy, heating and cooling energy demand. And we go another step forward to adding fuel in our windows, well, this is almost an example of the system. We took a model of five different fuels, actually, in experiments done by Asselstein et al. In 2008. This is actually the model. There is two things, and the first one is without a frame window, and the second one is with a cross window frame. And you see that different fuel actually give a different brightness. Even though you make the source is similar, but the brightness of the total brightness that you perceive is actually different. We also compare the luminous ratio between the task and the wall, and we have seen that this is quite similar. But if you calculate the direct diffuse ratio, so if you took out the ambient bounce, you actually get the direct light, and you can see a big difference between the images. So that's the second step. The third step is try to get on the other direction to improve the directionality of the light. And we take this as a concept, so we try to model the reflection of the ground on the ceiling, and sky direct light from sky to the ground, in order to optimize the spatial availability. By spatial availability, we mean this thing. So we want to achieve a bigger well-lit space in our room, so we can probably have a better data condition, even though it's virtual. So we took some input variables, and we see what happens if we change it. There are four actually of them. So we take into account the interval between the tilt of angle. So basically, our model is a small light source with different angle of tilt. And then also different beam angle of the sources, and also the distance between two neighbor windows, and see what happens if we combine all of them to make the model. And our performance indicators are spatial availability is the main important uniformity, and also. The third one is the contribution of the ground on the ceiling. So we measure the luminance on the ceiling to see how big is the contribution from the ground. And the last one is a probability of discomfort glare. So it's a normalized failure of a glare index. So everything now is made between this range between 0 to 1. And I show some examples of the results. So we took CIF for sky as a reference, and we put some criteria and see what happens if we change on the variables. For example, if you take the discomfort layer, I can show some image. So we have three different positions, and we see that the back position is always the worst glare index. But it's pretty similar with the real windows, as long as the luminance of the surface are also similar. So the standard deviation actually shows that it's comparable. So we can use this index of discomfort glare to compare both real windows and virtual windows. There's some result examples, so we actually can have some better performance of our space using this VMS. And if we take the sensitivity analysis, so standard regression coefficient, you see that the VNAND is actually the one important input variables that influence the output. And most of it, most of the VNAND the wide angle of spread is can satisfy the performance criteria. So as a conclusion, we say that a simulation tool radio can be important for predicting such future solutions. And our approach in this case is different towards providing with the directionality and complex view, while keeping the visual comfort comparable to the real situation. And the next step, of course, there's a lot of steps to be taken. We will try to improve the all of the learning performance aspects, as well as evaluating the energy performance of the systems. Yeah, and we'll go to the second case, which will be presented.
Yeah, thank you. Let's see how it works. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm Ruben Pelters. This is a part of my graduation project, actually. I started at the material department, and they have this new material which could actually oxidize air and could purify air, purify the air. So first, I would like to start with a small introduction. Yeah, indoor air quality is actually quite important because yeah, around 85 to 90% of the time that you people in the urban area spend indoors, and in effect there are a large range of materials which can emit pollutants. I summed up a few sources, but yeah, actually there are quite a lot of materials which can emit pollutants and also human activities. So that, yeah, it's, I cannot sum it up in one sheet, but there are actually quite a lot. But yeah, these pollutants can be removed, luckily, we do it. Normally we use air purification, but you can also increase ventilation rates or use source control. And photocatalytic oxidation techniques can, well, actually can be a potential technology for purifying this air in a passive way. You apply a coating on, for in this case, a wallpaper, and you can use it to purify air if there's light available. So, yeah, in previous research we studied already some things. For instance, there was a kinetic model developed to describe the degradation of NOx. And in the second study, they implemented the model in computational fluid dynamics, so they could describe the dispersion of this pollutant in an environment. But yeah, there was no radiance model applied, and it causes them to to do some assumptions. First of all, they neglected the glass cover and the reactor setup, which I'm going to show you further on. And they assumed a uniform irradiance distribution during the modeling in the in the CD model. So actually, I came up with a concept of how you could model this kind of phenomenon. So yeah, basically, I want to use the irradiance model as to predict the irradiance from which you can derive the degradation rates by using kinetics, then apply computational fluid dynamics to predict the air purification capabilities in a space. So if you put this in a framework, rolling framework, it looks like this. And yeah, in the middle, you can see that the red part is actually the radiance part. So it's actually part of a larger simulation effort. So yeah, in this first modeling study, I actually looked at the radiance distribution in the reactor, which I used in the first study. So in picture A, you can see the reactor setup, which is built of a casing reactor and a luminaire. And in picture B, you can actually see the reactor and the glass cover that they neglected during this this first sleep. So I built, this is a cup model of the model. It's actually a bit simplified. But you can see that there are a couple of components. The luminaire is composed of three light sources, and you have some mirrors, of course, to reflect the light behind the light sources. And of course, you have the catalyst sample, which we are interested in. So, I described the light source model. I actually couldn't measure the light. The light from the light source, so I had to come up with a model for the light source. So I I used this model to simulate the light, and I calibrated the model by changing the light output. It's expressed in by the capital L. So, and I used the material light for this this model. I also came up with a grid to calculate and calibrate the model. I use this grid on three different heights. The first height is actually to calibrate the model, and the second, the third height you can see is actually to calculate the ratio between the radiance on the glass plate and the catalyst. I made a validation by comparing the irradiance result with measurements. There were actually what you see here are the sampling points on the x-axis, and the error the error of the of the simulation on the y-axis. So as you can see here, you see the average errors, and I also included the deviation caused by both the measurements and the the Monte Carlo solving techniques. So this is a grayscale impression of the actual model. In the A, you can see a cross section in which you can see the front of the casing, which are covered with black paper, and in the picture B, you can see the other cross section, in which you can see more clearly the mirrors in the luminaire. And in here, in this picture A, you can see in bottom of the top view of the luminaires, and the, in which you will see the light sources and the mirrors. And in B, you can see the top bottom view of the reactor. Basically, what I in the previous study they measured, they actually removed the reactor and measured the irradiance on a height of 15 centimeters. So they neglected this the glass cover. What I did was I actually looked at the ratio between the irradiance coming on the canvas and the irradiance coming on the glass. By taking into account the reflection of the catalyst, I actually can could derive this ratio from simulations. I also made an analytical calculation just to make sure that I did not do any excessive work. But as you can see, the simulations are different. To sum up and to give an outlook, The measurements and the simulations differ. So there was a maximum average error of 4%, but due to the uncertainty, it was raised to 6%. I basically derived this simple equation from the simulations, and you can substitute it in a kinetic model to improve it, it gives an improvement of 1.4%. It's not much, but it's an improvement. The second idea for the modeling for the second modeling study is to employ the kinetic model and integrate the radiance model into a CFD model and then evaluate it or make some simulations for several cases in which you can study the photocatalyst by using a benchmark office. So, well, this is my part. Maybe you have any feedback or questions? I would like to. Yeah, you would like to hear it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually, if I may, yeah, this project is actually divided into three different PhD topics. So the first two are more focusing on the effects of, well, actually the first one is modeling on the effects of light only on the human being. The second one is the focus on the effect of a few, different type of view on the alertness, I think, on concentration alertness. And the third one is actually my project. So it's kind of it's a joint research actually. So we are mainly focusing on the modeling part in order to improvise the performance in terms of building performance.
Looking at some of the research that people have done in improving artificial light to improve performance of being stuff. A lot of research previously looked at just vertical eye movements, saying that brighter is better. But
yeah.
Current research thinks that they actually the improvements in health benefits are in the non-visible part of the spectrum towards UV, and the amount hitting, I think, the VM. Yeah, I was wondering how you, does your radiance by simulation, does it not take that into account? Is there another way, the other parts of the PhD, were they going to factor that in? Or?
Not so far, as far as I know, because we actually we haven't considered the effect of light at the different spectrum other than the visible one. Because, we are back to. Put it wrong. There's a documentation of it. Yeah.
I have a question about the CFD modeling.
Yes.
You mentioned that you're trying to integrate radiance results into the CFD model.
That's correct.
Is that a kind of dynamic problem in the sense that the full physics of that the CFD modeling is taken into account is influenced by the radiance studies? You know, for instance, reactance rates, temperature dependent, and temperature will be influenced by incident radiations.
Yeah, if you do it like that, yes, it's true. But in principle, the radiance model is of course time independent, and the CFD model is time dependent, and the initial modeling is separated. And you incorporate the irradiance distribution as a function into your CFD model, so it's separated.
What's the CFD code you use?
Ensign's Fluent. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.